It felt as though it took twice as long to get back home than it did to make our way out to the mysterious ghost town in the first place. But that may simply have been the fact for both the camper and I running on fumes when we arrived back onto my street. Lainey had calmed down considerably, especially since she slept a good half of the trip. I would have loved to have been able to pass out for a bit myself, but I was certain that she needed it far more than I. Yes, I hadn't exactly enjoyed much of a rest for the portion of the night I spent in my sleeping bag, but I still had no idea how long she had been awake for before I showed up. I hate to think what could have happened if I had not arrived before those things came staggering through the trees. Given the marks on her wrist that still looked quite fresh, I could only imagine what they were capable of if they had more time to spend with their victims. My sister agreed to stay at my place for a few days, as we had already planned on being out of town for at least a long weekend. She still refused to see a doctor, but she didn't resist my insistence that I had to be allowed to keep an eye on her. Of course, I wouldn't be able to do much until I got some much-needed sleep. Before I hit the sack, I ordered some pizza, as neither of us had eaten much over the previous 24 hours. But once my stomach was content, I passed out as soon as my head hit the pillow. My dreams took me back to that foggy clearing in the woods. But it was more in that distorted and far removed from real life imagery that the sleeping brain takes us to. I wouldn't say it wasn't exactly a nightmare or anything, but it wasn't enough to cause me to jerk awake in a cold sweat or anything either. I've always had a bit of clarity in my dream state, finding even the most horrific ones a bit too far-fetched to believe to be taking place in the waking world. I'm not a lucid dreamer or anything. I like to think I just generally have enough awareness to know what is real and what isn't. It had been around 5 in the afternoon when I pulled back into my driveway, so when I finally reopened my eyes, it was nearing 7 in the morning. I hadn't paid much attention to what time it had been when I crashed for the night, but my body felt pretty content for the longer than normal rest, and a bit sore from laying in one place for too long. Well worth the price, I thought as I dragged my heels to take a shower, where I stayed for a good half an hour at least. When I finally strolled back into my living room, I saw no trace of Lainey, causing my heartbeat to quicken, as I stood staring at the vacant blanket and pillow on my couch. In a way, I wasn't surprised, but I had still been hopeful that she would stick around like she had promised. She had always been a free spirit, though, even while she maintained eye contact when she gave me her word that she wouldn't go anywhere without me for a few days. I think I knew she was full of shit. Maybe I was just too damn beat to read too much into it at the time. I still took a good look around my home, along with the camper parked outside to make sure that she wasn't just hiding out. I thought that she may have also experienced some nightmares about the events that still seemed barely believable at the time, and even more so as I look over some of the words I've already written. Of course, she wasn't around, but I could only hope that she was all right. I considered calling my mom to see if she had heard from Lainey, but they hadn't really been on speaking terms since my sister moved out. Honestly, I think that they barely talked since before the divorce, but I can't speak on the times I wasn't around. I can't necessarily say if it was some sort of grudge between my parents and sister, but any time I brought her up to either of my folks, they would just act like they didn't want to talk about it. We weren't exactly a close-knit family, but I did get along for the more simple times on occasion, back when I was a kid. 2 more days went by and I still hadn't heard anything from Lainey, nor could I even get in contact with her. I was growing more and more worried by the day, leading me to call around all the hospitals in the area to see if anyone that matches her description was checked in. It set my mind at ease when none showed any records of anyone by my sister's name or appearance, but I was still very uncertain about the whole thing. She was often prone to just being gone for extended periods of time over the years. But I was still spooked by the events that led us to cut our trip short. After yet another day passed with no sign of my sister, I finally gave in and decided to reach out to my folks. I didn't want to talk about any of this on the phone, so I hopped in the car and headed to my dad's place first. I could see my sister being far more likely to talk to him than our mom, as he was most certainly the more understanding and open-minded of my folks, but, like I said, neither of them were even particularly open to the topic. Truth be told, I didn't talk much with my parents anymore either, as they had grown so self-consumed and distant over the years. This was not a situation I needed to leave alone, though. Even if it could be a bit awkward, I had to give it a shot. I still highly doubted Lainey would even think about getting in contact with either of them, but I just didn't know what else to do at that point. As I drew closer to the house my father shared with my stepmother, I realized I should at least place a call to ensure he would actually be home, something I felt stupid for not doing before driving 30 or so miles to get there. Given my erratic thoughts and concerns for my sister's well-being, I couldn't fault myself for being so unfocused. But it had to be done. It was already within the last few minutes of my journey, so when I received no reply from the call, I didn't immediately turn back. I thought I might be able to at least wait for him for a bit if he wasn't home. When I pulled into his driveway, next to my dad's glossy black Expedition, I noticed the garage door was open. Assuming he may indeed be home after all, I headed to the front door and knocked, inadvertently pushing it ajar, as it was apparently unlatched. I called out to my father while nudging the door farther open, peering my head around from inside. I was barely aware of my own scream when my eyes met the bloodied mess across the living room. I could not remotely convince my own limbs to move as I stood frozen in place, glaring at what appeared to have once been my father. I couldn't even fathom as to what could have done this to him, but my thoughts were not nearly focused enough to make any sort of clear judgment at the time. His left arm looked as though it was pulled out from its socket, as the bone protruding from the discarded limb was not jagged but rounded. There were deep gashes around his chest and remaining arm. Both eyes were replaced by dark and meaty scarlet globs, and his jaw had been torn from the skull on the left side, leaving it hanging loosely from the gristled strips of tissue. His legs were splayed in opposite directions, with the shards of bone splitting through the flesh of his thighs and shins, the blood still seeping out from within, as well as having sprayed across each and every wall in the room. Regardless of how far removed from my parents' life I had grown over the past years, I still found myself kneeling on the floor beside my father's remains, holding him in my arms, while still screaming out in horrified shock. When someone else entered the house behind me, I was only vaguely aware of the cold metal of the handcuffs snapping around each wrist, as well as the fact my hands had been pulled from my dad's corpse in the first place. I was still in that mentally vacant state over the whole ride to the police station. Finally coming back to my senses, sitting straight up in the chair, the gray concrete-walled room.
"Why did you do it, you piece of crap?"
the middle-aged bald man in the wrinkled suit said, breaking me from my catatonic state.
"Answer me!"
"What? No, I didn't."
"Bullcrap!"
"Cool it, Jerry," the taller man with the salt-and-pepper messy hair said. I could only assume he was going to be the good cop for the remainder of the interrogation. I can't say I exactly had much experience with this sort of thing, but I had watched enough movies in my time to be familiar with the concept. I never actually knew if this was a real thing that police actually do, but I had to believe I wasn't just coincidentally locked into a room with two such polarized different personalities.
"Why don't you just tell us what happened, yeah?"
Good cop asked.
I don't know. I just got there and saw him like..."
"Bullcrap!"
Bad cop said, pounding the table with his fists.
"We know you frickin' killed him. What, you didn't get what you wanted for Christmas? He didn't love you enough? Just tell the damn truth, you piece of..."
"Jerry!"
"You're not helping. Let the kid tell his side of the..."
"We already know his side. Bastard brutally murdered his old man and..." "What? We should put on the kid gloves? Do you see what he did to this guy? I've never seen no crap like that."
"I didn't do it. I swear to Christ I didn't. I just went to go see him and found him like that."
I said, practically begging them to listen. Before I knew it, Bad Cop pulled me from my uncomfortable chair, slamming me up against the solid wall. I coughed and gagged as the oxygen was thrusted from my lungs and into the greasy bald man's face.
"You're a frickin' murderer, you piece of shit! Admit it!"
he said through gritted teeth, with his nose practically rubbing alongside my own.
I didn't do it, I swear," I said, wheezing, still trying to catch my breath, while the good cop pulled the other guy off me.
I fell to the ground, buckled over, still gasping. Bad cop pushed good cop away, after they exchanged some heated words before the chunky bald guy headed for the door, pounding on it to get his attention of the guard posted on the other side. I gathered myself up, while the thin man with the salt and pepper hair helped me to my feet. "Sorry, kid. He gets a little bit heated."
"I swear I didn't."
"Okay, just take a seat. I'll give you a few minutes to cool off. You want something to drink?"
"Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it."
After he left the room, I was left alone to attempt to process everything, which was no easy task. Regardless of being far from close to either of my parents, the sight of what was left of my dad was practically etched into my brain. That, combined with the fact I appeared to be the lone suspect in his murder, left my thoughts far more erratic than they had been before I left for home that morning. I just couldn't wrap my mind around it, what had happened, as well as the recent events which left my sister's whereabouts unknown to me. I had absolutely no clue as to how the hell I was going to get out of this. Yes, I knew I was innocent. But as long as they were focused on me for the crime, they would not have a chance of tracking down whoever or whatever had done this to the old man. I couldn't even imagine what could be capable of inflicting such horrendous brutality. After a while, the good cop walked back in, accompanied by a younger guy in a nice gray suit, who was revealed to be a lawyer my mother had contacted to help me. He looked to be maybe a few years older than me, with perfectly styled dirty blonde hair and a tidy beard. He introduced himself as Derek MacArthur, from the law firm of MacArthur and Heath. Apparently, his father was quite the well-respected attorney, as well as his partner, Abby Heath. He assured me I was in good hands, and they planned to have me released within a few hours, as the evidence was circumstantial at best, regardless of the fact I was still covered in my dad's blood. Before I could be permitted to leave, I had to allow them to take possession of my clothing, as well as provide DNA samples, along with giving a statement on my account of the day's events. Bad cop still staring knives at me from the other side of the table, while good cop continues to play the part of my best buddy. Both looked quite unhappy when MacArthur stuck a fork into the discussion, before leading me out to the police station, wearing some fresh clothes my mom had brought by. Though I was beyond relieved to feel the fresh air hitting my face again, I was still stunned by everything that had occurred that day. The following days blended together, during which I repeated the story I had told the police numerous times. Everyone from my mother and her husband Carl to my stepmother Brianne wanted to know what had happened. It wasn't easy to recount what I had seen, especially to Brianne, but I suppose they needed to know what I knew. Which wasn't much, truth be told. MacArthur was still content with the notion that I had nothing to worry about. But I was still terrified both of what I had been facing as well as the things I had witnessed over the previous days. Maybe 2 weeks later, after several more visits from detectives and lawyers, I finally got some answers to the craziness of late. Truths I was not prepared for. I returned to my house after mid-afternoon, after having to attend yet another meeting with my attorney. I had grown exhausted from this situation, but it wasn't in my hands to put an end to it. Yes, I knew myself to be innocent, as did MacArthur, or so he claimed anyways. But it felt as though we were making absolutely no progress, as the only evidence revealed in my dad's home pointed to me. I was far more than stressed, and quite mentally checked out while I drove the far too familiar roads to reach the solitude of my house, that I didn't even notice my guest when I arrived.
I was paying little attention to anything around me after I swung my door open. I just strolled over to my favorite chair, flopped down into it, and flipped on the television. It wasn't until I heard the voice from behind me that I realized I was not alone. "Hey, little brother."
"Chiso!"
I yelled, almost falling out of my chair, as I had assumed myself to be the only resident of my home.
"Lane, where the hell have you been?"
I got up and walked over to where she stood at the back of the room, but she held her hand out before I got close enough to wrap my arms around her.
"Stay back, kiddo," she said, with wide eyes and a trembling lower lip. "I don't know if it's contagious."
That is when I noticed the wrist that still wore the charred imprint of the hand, which had wrapped around it in the woods, now branching out into darkened veins.
"Oh my God, Lainey, we need to get you to a doctor."
I can't, baby brother. They'll lock me away."
She now waved both her arms in front of her, looking downright terrified at the thought of facing possibly involvement from the authorities.
"Lane, that doesn't look good. I mean, it looks like it's infected or something. If we don't get you to the emergency room, you may end up losing that whole hand. It may already be too far gone."
It doesn't matter what happens to me. I've done..."
She cuts her own words short as she covered her face with the hand that was attached to her untarnished wrist, which now had tears leaking from behind it.
"What have you done, Lane?"
I almost didn't want to ask, but I feared I already knew the answer.
"I didn't mean to. I couldn't stop. I didn't even realize what I was doing until there was so much blood. Bri, I don't..."
Her sobbing overruled her ability to speak, causing her to drop to the floor. I walked closer. I wanted to console her, but she wouldn't allow it.
"Stay back,"
she screamed, holding her hand out once more.
"Lainey, please."
"No,"
she yelled, getting to her feet and running for the back door before I could wrap my arms around her.
"Lainey,"
I called out, chasing after her. I was closing the gap between us as she threw open the door, but I couldn't even hope to catch up with her after she freed herself from my home. She was just so damn fast. I'd never seen anyone move like that before. For a moment, I had entertained the idea that she was transforming into one of those things from the woods, as those blackened veins were almost reminiscent of their rotten flesh. But they had barely even moved in any human manner, while she now seemed as though she could outrun my car with little or no effort. I still made an attempt to chase her down, but I knew it was pointless before I even reached the end of my backyard, as she was barely visible by that point. I still tried, though. I kept running in the direction she had fled towards. Even after I could no longer see her, I held on to some sort of hope that she may run out of energy before long, possibly dropping her to the ground. But that was wishful thinking at best. After a solid 10 minutes at least, I finally gave in to splitting at my side, gasping for breath, while almost buckling to the concrete. I knew I wouldn't be able to find her now, but I still returned to my car after my head stopped spinning, to drive out in hopes of being able to maybe find some trace of where she had gone. I spent hours speeding from one neighborhood to the next, up and down the back roads, and even out towards the interstate, but it had been pointless to begin with. When I finally returned to my house, I allowed the gravity of what she had told me to set in.
"So much blood," she had said.
Those words bounced around in my head for some time, until I allowed the truth to break through the wall of my own denial and begin to build around itself.
"She killed him," I said aloud,
finally accepting it, admitting to myself that my own beloved sister was the one who killed our father with such brutality. I just sat there, glaring at the nothingness behind my television, which was still tuned in to whatever I had been watching before Lainey broke me away from it. I could neither focus on it nor anything else, other than what she had done. I knew it had to be due from whatever the hell those things in the woods were, but them being on the other side of the country made them far from my current dilemma.
What concerned me at the moment was that I needed to get my sister some help. I couldn't allow her to be taken into custody for something I knew that she would have never done had she not been, I don't know, altered. That alone made her innocent in my eyes. Yes, she had torn our dad to shreds, something I still had trouble wrapping my mind around. But it wasn't her, not entirely anyways. Somewhere in the mists of my brooding over all the chaotic craziness, I suddenly broke free from my pensive stare, practically leaping back to my feet. I ran to my bedroom to fetch my phone from my charger, before it dawned on me that it was still in my damn pocket. I placed a call to my mom as soon as I was able, feeling my heart slam against the inner wall of my chest. Pick up, pick up, pick up, pick up! I rambled over and over, while every beat of the dial tone caused my breathing to grow more erratic. Pick up! I screamed out one last time, before my mother's voice greeted me from the recording, requesting that I leave a message at the beep. Shoot! I yelled, jogging towards my front door, while placing a call for a second time, knowing full well it would result in the same thing. Before I knew it, I was speeding much faster than I knew I should have. But I had to get to my mom's place. I had to be sure she was safe. With the knowledge of who actually murdered my father, I knew I had to intervene before my sister inflicted the same thing on my mom. Whatever that thing was that grabbed her by the wrist had infected her with something. I had no doubt about that. But I couldn't help her if she wouldn't allow me to. The only thing I hoped I could do was stop her from what I had little doubt she was planning. My tires tore into the front lawn of my mother's house after I screeched them to a halt, halfway in the driveway and halfway in the grass. I ran from the car to the front door, leaving the engine running as I wanted to waste as little time as possible. As soon as I knocked my fist against the wood, the door swung open to reveal Carl, my stepfather, standing behind it.
"What's up, kid?"
he asked with a puzzled and somewhat annoyed expression, made even more aggravated after his eyes met where my tires had torn into his grass. "Hey, Carl, is my mom around?" I was panting as I spoke, still gasping to breathe as I couldn't seem to find my lungs since I chased after Lainey.
"She stepped out for a few. Would you care to wait for her inside?"
He pulled the door open further before cutting his eyes back to the shredded lawn with my wheels buried. He clenched his jaw, but still spoke in a friendly tone, though I could make out the underlying annoyance underneath. I glanced back at my car before giving Carl an apologetic shrug. "Let me adjust my parking really quick. I'm sorry about the lawn." I gave a pitiful excuse for the bullshit chuckle before heading back over to my vehicle.
"Just come on in when you're done,"
he said while he put on a fake smile. In all honesty, I never much cared for Carl, a feeling that I was certain to be mutual. He wasn't a bad guy overall. He just always had that "my shit don't stink" look on his face. And he had the tendency of sort of looking down his nose at me. I don't even think he's even met Lainey, since she didn't come around anyone but me since the divorce. But I'm sure he would have treated her the same way if he had. It took far longer than necessary to regulate the parking of my car. But I was in no rush to share my mom's place with her husband for any longer than I had to. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I think I was hoping that she'd pull in behind me before I would have to drag my heels in the house. Unfortunately, it appeared that I would have little choice but to just bite down and deal with Carl for the time being. He was just sitting on the recliner when I let myself in, staring at his phone, while barely acknowledging my entry. I was still moving slowly, even if we did officially share the room already, but I could tell he was about as excited about this as I, while he did his best to continue to ignore me. "Is it cool if I grab a drink?" I asked reluctantly. Though this was the house I grew up in, something about it felt foreign to me these days. It could be no more than the fact I no longer lived there, or just for the fact that good old Carl appeared right at home in it. He just nodded his head to my request, and I strolled into the kitchen, fully planning on grabbing a beverage and sitting at the dining table to avoid the man as much as I could. That was my intention, anyways.
before the scream caused me to drop the beer, shattering the bottle into both thick and fine shards of reflective green glass, while the liquid splashed across the tile floor. By the time my short sprint brought me back to the living room, blood had already sprayed across the dark wood of the coffee table, as well as the front door and wall. It still dripped from Laney's fingers, which had already just pulled themselves free from our stepdad's throat when I entered. She didn't even look up at me, as my wailing took the place of my stepfather's now gargling voice. There was nothing especially deformed or meticulously expressive in her face, as she grabbed both his arms before thrusting her heel against his chest to pull his limbs free from his torso. She still wore my sister's kind face, her warm smile and almost childlike eyes, while globs of crimson and chunks of grizzled meat slapped across her whole body as Carl's spewing shoulders gave way. I was borderline paralyzed and rooted to the spot from what was once a middle-aged prick. Somewhere within the chaos of my frenzied and shell-shocked mind, I wondered why she kept tearing her fingers through his flesh, as it appeared her initial attack had put an end to his life. But she just wouldn't stop. I knew it was my beloved sister I watched shred our mother's husband, but I was also well aware that it wasn't. Regardless of the light-hearted glint in her eye, as though she was doing nothing more than messily preparing a meal, I had to put an end to this. After what she had done to our father, I had no reason to believe she would stop after this. I loved my sister more than anyone else in this world, but I could not allow her to go on this way. For all intents and purposes, Laney died on that mountain. Whatever I brought back with me could not be permitted to live on in her place. Finally convincing my shuddering limbs and function again, I charged at my sister, connecting my tidy bald fists with the side of her face. Blood sprayed across my knuckles, but I didn't tell if it was hers or just some of my stepfather's bodily fluids, as she was currently soaked from head to toe in them. She fell back onto the floor before gazing up at me with a look of shock on her face, an expression of one that had been betrayed by the one person they loved. I felt the tears well in my eyes as we stared at each other. The stabbing pain in my chest was not from fear, but from the agony of knowing what had to be done. "What the hell, Bri?" she asked, her own eyes glassy and trembling. "Look what you did, Lane," I replied, choking on the words as they rippled from my throat. Her mouth dropped as she looked upon what she had done to Carl. She blinked from his remains to her blood-soaked hands, and back to me, still holding my fist out before me like a shield. She began shaking her head, pushing herself across the floor, away from the bloodied heap of what was once a man. "No, no, 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 no. I didn't do this. I couldn't. I..." She gazed into my eyes, hers now flowing tears down her reddened cheeks, though I couldn't tell if it was her own blood flushed beneath the surface, or if it was just the liquid Carl smeared across her skin. "Lane, I saw you. I watched it happen. You have to stop." "Bri, what? I mean, I couldn't." "But you did. You killed Dad too." "No, no, I wouldn't. I..." "You did, Lane. You even told me you did." "No, I couldn't." "Laney, you told me earlier today. You remember coming to my place?" "No, how did I get here? What's going on, baby brother?" We just stared at each other for a time, both of us in our own separate degree of shock. I knew she wasn't in control while she did those awful things, but I couldn't allow this to continue, even if I dreaded the thought of what I would have to do to put an end to her murderous rampage. While our glassy-eyed glared into one another, I could tell she was of the same mind as I, as well as sharing the fear of what was to come. When she got back to her feet, there was a look of resolve on her face, one that I believe I also shared. She walked around the dismembered body of her mother's husband, trying as much as she could to avoid stepping another foot into the thick scarlet fluids which still protruded from his wounds. After the gap between us was closed and we stood face to face, I felt my chest heaving while my heart sank to the pit of my stomach.
You know what you have to do, Bri,
Lainey said with her lips forming a quivering smile.
I can't, Lane. Don't make me.
I could feel the moisture drip from my chin, dampening the wrinkled Jimi Hendrix t-shirt I wore. My breathing skipped, while my heart fought to regulate itself, causing my trembling fingers to feel cold and absent of blood.
You have to, baby brother,
she said, placing her hand on the side of my face, allowing me to feel the warmth of her skin upon my frigid cheek. After gazing at one another for more time than I can say, she once more lowered her hand, wrapping her fingers around mine. We walked side by side as she guided me to the kitchen, where the remains of the scattered bottle still lined the floor. She did not break her eyes from mine as she reached for the rack of knives that were perched on the marble countertop. She never broke her stare while she laid the hilt of the long blade in my hand before lifting it to her own throat.
Please, she said, sounding far more calm and accepting than I was even remotely capable of. As my hand shuddered so violently, I could barely keep the knife gripped between my fingers and palm. Don't make me, I pleaded, knowing she was certain this was necessary. You love me, right? Of course. Then let me die as me, not as what I did that, she said, pointing towards the oozing corpse in the living room. I tried to fight against her grip as she guided the blade I held into the flesh of her neck, instantly causing blood to stream from around where the cold metal pierced. I cried out, allowing the hopelessness to consume me, letting the tears spill into a storm soak the fabric of my shirt while blending with the warm spray erupting from her throat. As the life began to leave, the hands that she still held in place around mine then dropped to her side. I pulled the knife from her neck, tossing it to the floor, to wrap my arms around her. The gargling from both her open, gushing throat and her gaping mouth did not distract from the childlike beauty of her eyes, as we both continued to look upon each other. Her mouth twitched as she fought to form her lips into a smile, and I attempted to return the sentiment, though my racing heart was slowly fragmenting. Her body became heavier when the final sparks of life left her, and I allowed myself to sink to the floor, with my arms still clutching her tightly. I could barely form a rational thought over the course of what felt like hours of crouching on the tiles, running my fingers through her hair, wishing nothing more than for her to inhale another sweet draw of oxygen into her now permanently deflated lungs. I stared down into her wide and blank eyes, allowing my tears to splash upon that final attempt at a loving smile, still frozen on her face. Some time later, I was vaguely aware of the front door creaking open, followed by the horrified squeal that broke my stare off of my sister. My mother was still wailing when she saw me perched on the kitchen floor as she ran towards me, rubbing her hands across my face and arms. Who did this? Are you hurt? Chiso, answer me! She yelled, still searching my body for injuries. I had to stop her. I didn't want to. It's not her fault. Who? You had to stop who? It was Lainey, Mom. She killed him. Dad, too. It wasn't her, though. Not really. Brian, she said, pulling her hands off me as she backed away from where I sat, still holding on the corpse of my beloved sister. Did you do this? What? No, Mom. It was Lainey. My senses were returning, though my mind was still reeling. She was infected with something in the woods. It made her bad. I think it wasn't her fault. What the hell are you talking about, Brian? We went to a mountain behind an old ghost town. There were these things up there. They touched her. I think they infected her with... Jesus, Brian! Your sister has been dead for 13 years. You know that, right? What the hell is wrong with you? What? No, she's... I looked down to see nothing but my own blood-stained jeans staring back up at me. I darted my eyes around the room, searching for any sign of my sister. But there wasn't even a trace. I saw the knife lying on the floor, but it was clean, besides the residual blood around its hilt. I began to lift myself up off the floor, causing my mother to jump, screaming out once more.
"What the hell have you done, Brian?"
"No, I didn't. It was..." I finally got back to my feet, attempting to wipe off the dried blood, which had soaked into the skin of my hands, still seeing absolutely no trace of my sister. I felt my stomach churn as the endless stream of questions attacked my frenzied mind.
"Stay back!"
my mother screamed, pulling out a gun from her purse, before outstretching it towards me in a shaking hand.
"It wasn't me, Mom. I wouldn't. It was Lainey, I swear to God." "I'm calling the police!"
She still held the gun trained on me as much as she could with her very erratic aim at the time, while placing a call with her free hand.
"Mom, I didn't. There's been a murder,"
she stuttered into the phone.
"My husband, my son, he..."
I shook my head from side to side, backing away from the woman who had already determined me to be a killer. I knew I had not hurt anyone. Well, anyone besides my sister. But she made me do that. I knew that I would never hurt anyone. But she couldn't see that. I couldn't understand how she could believe me capable of such a thing. But I couldn't wait around to be thrown into a prison cell, where I could never prove my innocence if I were to be locked away. Without giving it a second thought, I ran for the back door. Two shots rang out from behind me, along with another terrified wail from my own mother, who I could barely believe was actually trying to shoot me. I didn't waste any time checking myself to see if any of the bullets had hit their mark, as I just wanted to get as far away from there as I could. I didn't know if my mom attempted the chase after me or what, but once I busted through the back door, I circled the house to get to my car and hauled ass in a hurry. I was a good ways up the road when I heard the sirens in the distance, which I could only assume belonged to the police headed to my mom's place, which I did not stop driving until I got back home. I gathered up as many of my things as I could before loading up the camper and getting back on the road before giving the authorities a chance to catch up with me. I couldn't risk staying at the hotel, but I hoped I could keep my camper under the radar until I could clear this shit up. I didn't know what was real anymore. I know what I saw. I know what I've been through. But any information I find on my sister claims she's dead before my parents even divorced. I've known her my whole life. I spent more time in Lainey's company than with anyone else on this damn planet. She was the only person I could ever count on, and it was my hands that put an end to her life. I know that. I still feel the guilt of having to kill the only person I truly loved in this frickin' world, as well as the memories of all the good times that we had shared growing up. I'm slowly making my way across the country. Hopefully I can make it back to the town that time had forgotten before the police catch up with me. I swear my sister was not a monster, but I also know I didn't kill anybody. Unfortunately, I can't prove either of those facts to anyone, nor that Lainey was ever real, until I truly understand what's going on myself. I'm terrified at even the thought of going back up to that mountain, but I think it's the only choice I have left. Lainey was my best friend, and the only person I could ever count on. I have to find the answers to what made her do those horrific things, as well as why nobody remembers her but me. Well, remembers her to be alive anyways. I can't take back the things that happened, and I will never look upon my beloved sister again, but I hope to God I can at least rationalize it all. I don't know if those things in the woods changed reality in some way, or maybe even sent me somewhere else. But I know that they did this. I know all of this insanity is connected to them, whatever the hell they are. I'll try to pick up some sort of weapons before I get back to the mountain, and I'll get the truth of it all. Even if I have to gut a few of those creatures to make them listen to me. I'll set this right. I'll make everyone see it, one way or another. Just please believe me. I am innocent, and Lane was too. It wasn't her who did those things.
She had the kindest and most loving heart, and would never ever do such a thing to anyone. I must have lost touch with reality a bit, but I will never believe that she was capable of such horrific acts. I won't even entertain the idea that I was responsible for them either. My sister wasn't a monster, and I swear to you, I am not one either.